Lord, we pray that you will bless the word Shirley brings to us, and we pray that you'll bless Shirley too, and we pray that you'll bless us through hearing your word. Amen.
Amen. I want to just thank the band for this morning's praise and worship, because I don't know about you, but I just feel very different. I'm in a different place having worshipped from how I was before, and it's just given me new life again and helped me in my faith. So thank you to the band. It's a really special time. I had two lovely grandmas, and I think that both of them said at different times to me, you know, Shirley, patience is a virtue. I don't know why they had to say it to me, but they obviously found the need to. The strange thing is that so is goodness, and so is kindness, and so is faithfulness. But did you ever hear someone say, you know, goodness is a virtue, you know, faithfulness is a virtue, kindness is a virtue. So why choose patience out of all of them? Why choose patience to make that the special thing that is a virtue? I am wondering whether it's because it's so difficult. It's really difficult to be patient. And so what I'm going to say this morning is probably going to be quite challenging for all of us, me included. So we're in this series about asking God to develop the fruit of his spirit in our lives, welcoming the Holy Spirit, attending to our roots, because then the fruit will look after itself. I remember talking about that with Graham Crawford, a new wine, a few years ago, saying, come on, Graham, let's attend to the roots. The fruit can look after themselves, because we can no more make ourselves fruitful, really, than an apple tree can make itself bear apples. We have to attend to our relationship with him, to seek his face, to look for him, and yes, to cooperate with the Spirit. And sometimes that does mean making choices and using our free will. But it is about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, setting us free from those things that would hinder us from being fruitful. So if you like, setting us free from impatience, setting us free from unkindness, setting us free from giving up really easily so that we can persevere. And I don't think that's a matter of semantics. I really think that that is true, that that's what God wants us to do, because it is for freedom that he has set us free, and he wants to set us free to be like him. So to look at patience, really it has two meanings. The word, the Greek word that's used here, which I can hardly pronounce, so I'm not going to even try, is more about the second meaning that I'm going to talk about, but I feel that the first one is important to talk about as well. So, and the first one is actually exemplified here by Simeon. So, there's a book that I've read that describes it as, patience is to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come our way without wanting retaliation or revenge. See, I told you it's going to be quite hard. Enduring, it suggests waiting in difficult circumstances, in just keeping going. And so I want to say this morning, because I actually know that some of you are really enduring in your lives at the moment, but there are lots of lives I don't know anything about. So I want to say, are you enduring at the moment? Are you waiting for something to happen, or for the end of something? You may be waiting for the end of your pain, whether that's physical or emotional or even spiritual. You may be waiting for a reconciliation with a family member or with a friend from whom you've become distanced and maybe actually cut off. You may be waiting for the end to trouble or difficulty in your life, which is really hard to bear. You may be waiting for the end of financial hardship. You may be waiting for the end of depression. You may be waiting for revival, just as Simeon was, really. You may be waiting for someone to come to faith whom you really love and who you've prayed for so long. You may be waiting for a promise to be kept, either by somebody or maybe by God, who has given you a promise that you are holding on to. You may be waiting for God's guidance over something. His work for you, maybe. And it's hard and it's painful and it's difficult to endure some of the things that you are enduring, some of the things that some of us have been through too in our lives. And we may know others as well who are really enduring difficult times. And I don't want to trivialize it, but what I do want to say is, if that's you, you are in good company, because the Bible is full of people who had to endure. And God allowed that enduring and that pain. He did allow it. He may not have brought it about, but he allowed it, because he is a God who can redeem everything. He brings good out of everything for us who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Even the deepest darkness, the worst of your pain, he can bring such good out of it. Hallelujah. So Simeon, what do we learn from Simeon if we are needing to wait patiently? If you're feeling, yeah, I need patience in my life. I feel like I'm giving up. I feel like I'm going under. What do we learn from Simeon? What an amazing man. I mean, we don't know anything about him apart from that he was the first person that Jesus really met after the shepherds, actually. He was the first, although he had been circumcised, Jesus, but now being presented at the temple, it's Simeon who comes to him. First of all, so what do we know? First of all, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what on earth is that? We don't talk, I'm waiting for the consolation of Barnstaple. Maybe we should. Maybe we should be. But he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which basically means he was waiting for Israel to be saved, to be comforted, yes, but to be saved. And so the context, as most of us will remember, is that Israel has been subsumed into this massive Roman Empire. It is a tiny country which Simeon believes still is belongs to God. It's still the chosen people, but it has been overrun and, like so many other countries, simply subdued and oppressed by the Romans. So Simeon, who may have had some sort of status, but actually in the Romans' eyes, he would have had none. They couldn't care less about him being devout and, what was the other word that was used? It was lovely, wasn't it? Righteous, that's right. So he remains waiting for the consolation of Israel, despite all of the events that are going, that this Roman Empire is the biggest empire that the world has ever seen, and yet he is waiting for something mightier, greater than the Roman Empire, more powerful. Things are bad, but he is looking for a savior. He's not become embittered or defeated or hopeless. What he is righteous and devout. Again, words that we don't tend to use very much. Righteous, for righteous read good. He is a good man, and probably his goodness is evident to all. He's devout. He loves God. He worships God. He walks with God. This is a good man. And if we can find anything to learn from him, then let's do so. He is full of the Holy Spirit, which is revealing God's truth to him, that one day Israel will receive a savior who will set the people free. Now, it's not as Simeon probably imagined, certainly not as the disciples imagined, but he holds on to that truth, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. So there may be truth that you are needing to hold on to that is greater, far greater than the circumstances that you are in. And I know that that's difficult. But there is a truth that is greater than however dark and however big the opposition seems to be. So Simeon held on to God's promises in spite of the circumstances and the events. That's what it is to have faith, isn't it? He did that, and I know that many of you do that already. But he also looked up and he saw the bigger picture. When we're suffering, when it's a battle, when life is really hard, it's so easy for it to become a tiny world. Really easy. That's why we need each other so much in so many different ways. But one is to help us to look up and to remember, this isn't all there is, Shirley. There is eternity. There is eternity. And these troubles will be over one day. And there is something so much better ahead of us, so much bigger, so much better. Thirdly, because Simeon had patience and faith, he had eyes to see. He had discernment. See, if he had let his suffering separate him from God, and if he had drifted from God, and if he had drifted from God's word, and if he hadn't welcomed the Holy Spirit in his life, he wouldn't have been able to see that this baby, and we don't know how many babies were being brought, but you imagine if 20 babies were all there in the temple, but he had eyes to see the baby. Isn't that amazing that he has discernment? But that is also for us, that if we walk with God, he will enable us, he will open our eyes to see his purposes, his work being carried out in our midst, before our faces. Each day we can pray, God, in the midst of this, help me to see what you are doing. I remember Jill Boyton saying, he's doing so much and we don't see it. He's doing so much. Lord, open our eyes that we might see what you're doing. The hearts that you are softening, the hearts that you are changing, the lives that you are drawing into your kingdom, the people that you are using in magnificent and glorious ways, however understated those ways may be. Help us to see you at work as Simeon saw that this baby was the Lord's salvation. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. The Holy Spirit led him into the temple courts. He'd used his time of waiting and endurance to deepen his faith and walk more closely to God with God. And that, again, can be really difficult when things are so hard and we are suffering. It's hard, but that's actually God wants is for our faith to be deepened in him, not to dissipate, but to deepen as we endure and as we are patient. And lastly, his soul was satisfied. He said, Lord, I can now die. My soul is satisfied. Had he actually seen the consolation of Israel? Had he seen Israel set free? No, he hadn't, but he, more important in some ways, he had seen the child. He had seen the baby, and God's eyes had helped him to see what was in store. And sometimes it may be for us, and this is quite hard, but that we may never actually see what we really long for, but we see the beginning of God's work, like Simeon did. We see the beginning of it. There are many scriptures that sustain and strengthen us, because we are not the only ones to suffer. It goes right back, always, of course. And the Psalms particularly, but also things that Jesus said, things that Paul said, they help to sustain us, to hold on. So what I want to say before I move on to the second part of this, patience, is that if you feel in need of, that this is you, that you have recognized as I've talked, something that you are suffering with, enduring with, you need patience for, Tim on that side and Hilda on that side are going to hold baskets with just little strips of paper with different verses on. They're not going to give them out. It's up to you to take one after communion. So after you've had the bread and wine, if you would like to take a scripture to hold on to, then do, please. But the second meaning of patience, which maybe might be even harder for some of us, and this I quote, I didn't write this, it says, to put up with the foibles and weaknesses of others without getting irritable, angry, or vengeful. Psalm 103 says this. Actually, I've written it out. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That is what God is like, slow to anger, abounding in love, not repaying us according to what we've done. And he puts his spirit within us. And I want to say this isn't simply about being nice to each other. It's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper. It's not even, in a way, about getting on, because we are going to differ in our understandings of things. We differ in our theology, some of us. We differ in all sorts of ways. Yesterday at the PCC Away Day, we did these personality tests, and yeah, we are really different from each other. But hallelujah that we are. It's great. And actually, I read that in heaven, this, it may be controversially, it said there will still be conflict, but instead of the conflict leading to division, it will be creative. And it will lead to greater things and more beauty. And maybe we should start here with the when we find it difficult to get on, or when we find it difficult to see eye to eye. God is slow to anger, abounding in love. Nehemiah, in his prayer, says to God, "For many years you were patient with them." In other words, the Israelites. "For many years, God, you were patient with them. By your spirit you admonished or warned them through your prophets, but they would not listen." God above all, well, no, not above all, but God is patient with us. And the question that is the really tricky one to ask is, and ask myself, how patient has God had to be with you and me? How patient has he had to be? You don't have to put your hand up. Say, very, very, yeah. But actually, it's a serious question. How often has he had to remind you of basic truths? How often has he had to forgive you? How often has he had to pick you up? And I say, has he had to? He doesn't have to, of course. He loves you. He loves me. That's why he does it. He is patient with us. If God the Father is patient, then so is God the Son, Jesus. So we look to his example too, above all. Another word for patience is forbearance. It's a great word. To be forbearing, it does mean being patient. And of course, we see all the time that he was patient with these disciples who, like us, were slow on the uptake, didn't get it, missed the mark, full of vanity and nonsense and wanting to sit at Jesus' right hand and in the kingdom and all the rest of it. And he believed in them. He just kept on believing in them, because these were the 11 who were going to actually start the church when he went. So he kept believing them when they goofed and when they messed up and when they got it wrong. And perhaps for many of us, the example of Peter, who betrayed Jesus, who abandoned him, who denied him when Jesus needed him the most, the example of Jesus reinstating him, being reconciled, but more than that, giving him work to do. "Feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." Making him, this man who had so let him down, making him like the head of the church. How glorious is that? And that's how God deals with each of us, and challengingly how we need to deal with each other. Because we all make mistakes and we all get things wrong. And yet Jesus says to each one of us, "You are my beloved." And he says to each of us, "You remember that that person is my beloved. That that person who's hurt you is my beloved. That that person who has let you down yet again, they didn't do what they said they would, is my beloved. That that person who's got completely the wrong end of the stick, or that person who seems to believe some pretty strange things, is my beloved. And if he's my beloved, he should be yours as well." The supreme example of Jesus on the cross, of his patience, is when he went to the cross for us. That he gave up his rights to power, authority, status, reputation. He gave it all up for us. And when he hung on the cross, the Godhead itself was torn apart. my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, for our sakes, ultimately patient, willing to obey, submitting to utter injustice, becoming sin for us, being separated from the Father and the Spirit for a while. And so then, what about us? We are called then to be patient and forbearing with each other. Paul calls it loving each other sincerely. We are called, as Jesus did, to walk alongside each other when we're different from each other. We're called not to withdraw from each other, but actually to embrace each other. We're called to persevere with each other, laying down our rights to be right sometimes. We're called to have mercy on each other as Jesus did on Peter, especially when we don't see eye to eye. We're called to honour each other's pain, to recognise the pain in each other. And we're called to have faith in each other, especially when we mess up. We're called to pray for each other. We're called to believe that the other person actually is doing their best. It may not be a best that you would agree with for yourself, but actually deciding to believe that that person is doing their best is really helpful too. And one of the greatest gifts that we can give each other is to believe in each other. Just to believe in each other, as Jesus with Peter again, believing in him to feed his sheep. We have the Holy Spirit in us if we have asked Jesus to be Lord. That Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. His work is to help us, to empower us, to be more like Jesus, to reveal Jesus more to us, and then to become more like him. So I'm going to finish with one of my favourite verses from a hymn. It describes what God is like towards us, but I would also suggest may also describe how we are to be towards each other. And so I've been talking particularly about us as a church, but it's not just. It goes out into the family. It goes out into the office and the school and the workplace. It goes out wherever we are, that this is how we are to be. So if you'd like to close your eyes, you will recognize these words, I expect most of you. But let's just pray them. Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us. Rescues us from all our foes. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, widely as his mercy flows. And so God, we look to you and we thank you that you are patient with us. We thank you for your grace towards us. We ask you now to fill us with your Spirit that we might be patient and forbearing and loving towards each other, that we would have mercy, that we would be humble, that we would be united as one, as you and the Father are one. And we thank you that we cannot do it by ourselves, that we need your Holy Spirit to do it. So please help us, Lord Jesus, that we might be a people who radiate your love and unity and goodness and kindness and forbearance, that the world might turn and see, and Barnstaple might turn and see and be consoled by this community that is full of patience. Thank you, God. Amen.